If you have your Bibles, turn to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. We're in the midst of a series of living by the Spirit, walking by the Spirit, living a fruitful life. And what does that look like? And what does that mean for us? So a couple of things that we're going to do this morning. We're going to review a little bit from last week, and then we're going to move into the rest of this text today on what Paul talks about in being free from the law and from the power of sin. And so notice in verse 13, you were called to freedom, brethren. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, take care that you're not consumed by one another. Let me ask you a question. Is there a possibility that people in the church can bite and devour one another? Do you think that can happen? Do you think that does happen? Of course it does. He's instructing us not to do it. Because it happens. It happens all the time. He says, but I say, you want to be free? You want to be free from the law? You want to be free from the power of sin? You want to be free from the disunity of the body where you bite and devour one another in your relationships, maybe not just in church, but in your marriage and in your home and with your children and your children with you? What's the remedy? But I say, walk by the Spirit. Walk by the Spirit of God. Now, I want to stop here for a moment for just a little bit of review, because we have, when we see the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, there's a particular work that He does. Just like God is our Father, and God has created us, and God is working all things out for our good, and just as the second person of the Trinity, Jesus Christ, who becomes fully man, who becomes and stays fully God at the same time, who makes the sacrifice for your sin and my sin, and then what He does is that not only that, but he conquers sin and He conquers death through the resurrection. He ascends to the Father. And what does He do? He sends the third person of the Holy Spirit, third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit of the living God, to live in you individually. That's why He says, hey, it's to your advantage that I go away. If I go away, I can't kind of return to you, watch this, individually, for 2,000 years later, where we are, where the Spirit of God is still visiting us, coming into our lives. Paul calls Him the Spirit of Christ. So it's the Spirit of Jesus. It's the Spirit of God. It's the Holy Spirit of the living God. It's Christ in you, the hope of God's glory. That's what this is. And He works. We saw last week that the Holy Spirit helps you. He's the constant helper. John 16:7, I tell you the truth. It's to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send Him to you. Second, we saw last week that the Holy Spirit leads you into all truth. John 16:13 says, but when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He'll guide you into all the truth. For He will not speak on His own initiative, but whatever He hears, He will speak and will disclose to you the things that are to come. We know that the truth is the Word of God. The Scripture says in John 17:7, red letter, Jesus praying, sanctify them in the truth. Your Word is truth. And then we know that the Spirit, that the truth is Jesus. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, and no one comes to the Father but by Me. It's a great thought. It's a great doctrine. That He's the truth, and He's going to lead you into all the truth when the Holy Spirit comes. He's not going to lead you into lies. He's not going to lead you into sin. He's not going to lead you into the strongholds. No, He's going to lead you out of the pit, not into the pit. He's going to lead you out of the darkness, not out of the light. He's going to deliver you from these things. He's going to deliver you from the strongholds of sin and darkness and all these things. He will lead you, He says. He will lead you into all the truth. And so the encouragement today, the result of that is if He's going to lead us, let's walk by it. And quit walking by the flesh or by culture or by all these new little ideas that people are introducing into culture, into church, that gives you a loophole to continue in your sin. Because God is this God of love, won't send you to hell, won't allow you to walk in the darkness, because he's a God of love. And he is the God of love, but he loves you so much that he'll discipline you so you don't have to get your head beat in the rest of your life while you walk with Jesus. And we see it all the time. You've seen it in your life. The ebbs and flows, the ups and downs. Where somehow you quit walking after the Spirit of the living God, and all of a sudden you're living after the flesh. And you're bringing junk into your life and junk into your marriage and stuff into your family. Walking in a way that you know you're not to walk. He says it. He says, listen, if you bite and devour one another, take care that you're not consumed by one another. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will never ever carry out the desire of the flesh. Notice what he says. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these, the Spirit and your flesh, are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please to do. In other words, when we're walking in darkness and we're walking according to the flesh, we're unhappy people. Partying and drunkenness doesn't bring happiness and joy. It brings devastation. Sexual sin doesn't bring freedom. It brings devastation. These are things of the flesh. But if you walk by the Spirit, when you're hearing the Spirit, when you're hearing the Word through the Spirit, and you're walking and doing what He's asking you to do, notice the promise. You'll never ever fulfill the desire of the flesh. Here's the remedy for freedom. It's the Spirit of the living God. And you walking by the Spirit of God. Listen, last time you blew it, last time you sinned, last season that you walked in rebellion or just in frustration or anger or whatever that is, you thought, I'm just going to do my own thing and I'm just going to do it my own way because all this other stuff's not working. Well, did that work for you? Never does. That's why Paul says in Romans chapter 8, you have to crucify the flesh and its passions. If you're living by the flesh, Scripture says you're about to die. That's what he says, not me. You're about to die. You live by the flesh. And so Paul, to the Galatians who want to hook themselves back to the law, and in the meantime hooking themselves back to the law, not being able to keep the law, walk in all these kinds of sins. And it pollutes the life of the believer, it pollutes the life of the relationship, and it pollutes the life of the church. That's why, as your pastor, I will never ever give you a loophole to continue in your sin and tell you it's okay to walk in this thing. Because it's not okay. It brings bondage. It brings strongholds. Listen, every one of us who've grown up in families that are just bound by the enemy knows the misery of that. Knows the misery of having an abusive father or abusive mother. They know the misery of that. And so many of you, instead of walking in anger and bitterness, which is, it's just another thing that you're doing that your family did, you decide to break the curse. You decide to break the family line. And you get into the family of God to live God's way, not flesh way. And the question is will we do that? If we're in the middle of sin, if we're in the middle of darkness, if we're in the middle of the pit, will we cry out to God and say, no more, I'm going to follow after my great God. I'm going to do life God's way and not flesh way or my way. He says, look, walk by the Spirit, you'll avoid all this stuff. I mean, you'll avoid immorality, impurity, and sensuality. You'll avoid idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy. Yeah, you'll avoid outbursts of anger. And the seed of anger that comes, that the outburst of anger comes. And when you're an angry person, you'll have disputes and dissensions and factions. If you're an angry person, you'll envy, you'll turn to drunkenness. But notice what he says, 21, envy and drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. Things like these. It's not an exhaustive list. Things like these that come out of our lives. And notice what he says. It's again the warning passage of which I have forewarned you. Or I forewarn you just as I have forewarned you that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. It's the warning. That's what he says. He calls it a warning. When I was in your midst preaching, I warned you about this. And I'm warning you again. Do you think if the scripture says I'm warning you that we ought to take heed of the warnings of scripture? Amen. Amen. What that means is, as we talk about this, perhaps the Spirit of God right now, not Fritcher, not Mike, because I'm not preaching to anybody. Maybe I'm preaching to you today. But as you hear the scripture and read the scripture, and God says to you, oh, you've got this in your life. And it's obvious. Matter of fact, the Spirit didn't even have to tell you you had it. You knew it. But he brings the conviction. By the grace of God, the mercy of God, he brings the conviction. The question is will you have a godly sorrow over that sin that will produce a repentance in your life? How many have had that before? Yeah, a godly sorrow. Yeah, come on. Yeah, all over the place. Had a godly sorrow. And what did it do? It produced a repentance without regrets. What does repentance mean? It means like I'm walking this way and it's a bad way and I'm going to turn around and I'm going to walk after what? After God. Not after the flesh, not after the world, but after God and the Spirit. And when the conviction of God comes, what do? I have a godly sorrow. And if you had a godly sorrow, I'm just saying, you probably called somebody like a pastor or a friend and said, look, I've got this in my life. So you confessed it. You shared it. And in that confession, God started to bring freedom. You had a godly sorrow. You had a genuine confession. And you got accountable to somebody. That's how you walk by the Spirit. It's not some magical thing, some mystical thing out there. It's God speaking to your heart and you responding to it. And let me tell you, when you do this, notice what happens. When you do these things, he says, now look, the fruit of the Spirit, the things that come out of your life because you walk by the Spirit, you're not going to walk in sensuality, and you're not going to walk in sexual sin. You're going to walk in love. And you're not going to walk in some kind of grumpiness or some kind of critical spirit. You're going to walk in joy. And you're no longer going to walk in chaos. And you're no longer going to walk in fear. And you're no longer going to walk in anxiety and stress. You're going to walk in the peace of God. Now watch this. No longer is your life going to be defined by those things such as being an impatient man or an impatient woman where the outburst of anger comes out. But all of a sudden, you've got the fruit of patience. You think peace is elusive? Patience is as elusive as peace. But I'm telling you, you have peace, you'll be patient. You will be patient. You will walk in it. Why? Because this is the fruit of the Spirit of God. And he goes on, of course, and he talks about some of these things. And in the future, we'll be looking at some of these things more in detail. But I notice you're patient, you're kind, not rude. You're good, not bad. You're faithful, not faithless. You're gentle, not harsh. You're self-controlled, where you're no longer abusing the body, your body, where you're no longer abusing the things of this world in your life, and you're practicing self-control. control. What does that mean? It means that you're saying no to the temptation, to whatever that temptation is. But I got to walk by the Spirit. I've got to walk by Him. And how do I do that? How do I walk by the Spirit? Because I'm tired of living this way of the world. I'm tired of this stuff being on me. I'm tired of the critical spirit. I'm tired of the judgmental spirit that comes out of my life. I'm tired of the idolatry. I'm tired of the drunkenness or the addictions. I'm tired of these things. They're destroying my life. They're aging me. And there's no profit in it. How do I walk by the Spirit? How do I do that? Well, keep your place in Galatians 5 and go to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. Powerful passage of Scripture on what I must do, how I must believe, and what I must do to fulfill the fruit of the Spirit and bear much fruit. Okay. To bear much fruit. So chapter 15. And I'm going to start in 4, verse 4. Let's begin in 1. I think I've got a little time today. I'm the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Verse 2. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. Now watch. You are already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you. Verse 4, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. So neither, watch, can you unless you abide in me. What does the word abide mean? Real simple, it just means to live there. Stay there. Don't leave there. Abide in Jesus. Abide in the Spirit of God. Live in Him and as He lives in you. Stay with Him. Don't wander from Him. Don't wander from His presence. When you feel like the presence of God is kind of far off, ask Him to show you why so you can confess it and repent of it so that you're with Him. You have to abide in Him. You have to remain in Him. And listen, this is not just some kind of human effort, although that there's something about my decision to do that. It's about the Spirit of God leading me to abide in the Spirit of God. Listen, if you're under temptation, any moment of the day, a temptation to fear, a temptation to worry, a temptation to lust, a temptation to greed, whatever it is, if you'll turn your mind over and your heart over to the presence of God in your life who is abiding in you, and you become aware of it in that moment, I'm telling you, the temptation goes away. Scripture says it, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you as such is common to man, and God is faithful, will not allow you to be tempted beyond your ability, but will make a way of escape so that you can endure it. I mean, notice it. Notice that. It's like this temptation is common. You're not going through it by yourself, or you're not the only one. And God's faithful. It's not going to allow you to be tempted. Watch, beyond your ability. I don't know how that is because I don't think I have any ability. But that's the beauty of what He allows. It's not my word, it's His word. And then He gives you a way of escape. Every time. Every time. Let me ask you a question. Have you resisted temptation from time to time? Well, if you did it that day, why can't you do it the next? And the next. I mean, if I can do that and resist through the power of the Spirit of God, why can't I do it in my next step, in my next gate of walk, my next season, my next month, to keep my eyes on you? You say, well, are you talking about perfection? No, I'm not talking about sinless perfection. I'm talking about something that is so great and so grand. It's about walking by the Spirit, where I'm no longer practicing sin. So I commit it from time to time. Did it this week. But we don't stay in it. We don't make it, we don't let it become a habit. We don't allow it. We put it to death. Stop it. By the Spirit of God. By the grace of God. By all that God gives us to do that. The power of the Spirit of God in our lives to do that right in the moment. One of the things that we pray for around here is that God would birth us within us a belief in what Scripture says. And the question is you can doubt this piece or you can believe this piece today. P-I-E-C-E. Did I say that right? Yeah. That piece that we're talking about. This great God wants you to walk with Him, to walk by the Spirit, to abide in Him. And He's saying, look, you got to abide in me. You got to keep me at the fore. You've got to walk in a consciousness of my presence right now, right here. Because He says, listen, if you do this, you'll bear fruit. And you won't bear fruit if you don't do it. Verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches, he who abides in me. And really that's a present tense. So he who is abiding in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Now if you've come here for a long amount of time, you don't notice the cemetery anymore. It's just right there up front. Right? I mean, it's just become so familiar that we forget about it. If you go out there and you look at tombstones, there's two dates. Unless somebody bought their, you know, their stone and hadn't died yet. Okay. Two dates. The day you're born, the day you die. And usually there's a dash. The day you're born, the day you die. Okay. The question is am I going to walk now, knowing what I know today and have been refreshed today, am I going to walk according to this carton here, this flesh here, in my dash, not to the grave, but to the glory of God? Or am I going to live by the Spirit of God? Sometimes there's epitaphs, but I'm telling you, you don't need an epitaph for your people to know who you are. Really important. They're your epitaph. My dad was an angry man. My mom was a controller. Abusive. My dad was this. My mom was that. What's your epitaph? You know, I look at this fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And wouldn't you want your children and grandchildren to say, oh, that's my dad. That's my husband. Listen, that's my wife. That was my kid, my son, my daughter. That was our grandfather. I'll never forget, I was doing a funeral one time, which I do a whole lot of people I don't know, which can be really tricky. Okay. And as family was telling me about this woman, I thought of the virtuous woman of 30, and of Proverbs 30, 31, 30. And I didn't know, I just knew the daughter. I didn't know any of the sons or anybody. And I was talking to him and I said, hey, I don't know what made me do this, but I asked the big brother, the oldest guy. He's a lot older than I was. And I said, would you read this passage just to me right now? He had never read it. He looked at it and he goes, that's my mother. That's our mother, the epitaph, a virtuous woman, virtuous man, a consistent man. As you see him at church, we see him at home. Wow. You know, You know, my mom and my dad, you know, you see them all the time. Hey, they're the same way at home. There's no pretend. There's not one thing going on in the home and something else going out in public, or something going on in public and something totally different in home. Why? Because we get to walk by the Spirit and produce the fruit of the Spirit. But the only way to do that, is to abide in Him, to remain in Him. And I really believe with all my heart, it is this spirit of faith that believes. You know, verse 5 says, apart from me, you can do nothing. You can't fulfill the fruit of the Spirit apart from me. You got to abide in me. If you don't abide in me, you're cut off. You die, just like the branch dies from the main plant, the root. And once that branch dies, it gets burned up. You can't plant it back, you can't seed it back, you can't do any of those things, because it's dead. He said, listen, abide in me. Notice 6. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch, dries up, and they gather them, they cast them into the fire, and they're burned. If you abide in me, and watch this, my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, it'll be done for you. What do you want to have? You have this promise, you bear much fruit. You're doing things with Jesus. Apart from Him, you can do nothing. And now you're finding your prayers answered. But watch this. Verse 8, my Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit. And watch, and so prove to be my disciples. Walking by the Spirit and producing the fruit of the Spirit identifies you as a child of God. Now it's really interesting, because when you look at Scripture, the Bible says in 1 John chapter 2, we could go through this, read through 18 through 29. I don't have enough time to do this, but I'm just telling you, he begins with this thought of love not, in verse 15, love not the world or the things of the world. Because watch, all the things of the world are the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, boastful pride of life. Those are the deeds of the flesh. Okay, that's what it is. 1 John 2:15. Can you get that up there? Y'all seem interested enough. You're looking. Do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You see that? Did I say that? The Scripture says that. If you love the world, the things of the world, the love of the God, the love of God is not in you. Do not love the world nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Verse 16. Children, it is the last hour, and just as you heard that Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have appeared. From this we know that it's the last hour. Verse 19. They went out from us, but they were not really of us. For if they had been of us, they would not have remained. They would have remained with us. But they went out so that it would be shown that they all are not of us. Verse 20. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you all know. Let me tell you this. Anointed, the anointing is for everyone, not from the hired holy man. I mean, you pray that some people might say, oh, sometimes you're just so anointed. I just don't like that, because you're anointed. You have an anointing. I think it's verse 27. I may be wrong, so if you get there. Tell us about this anointing and as for you, the anointing which you receive from him abides in you, and you have no need for anyone to teach you, but as his anointing teaches you about all things, and it's true, it's not a lie, and just as it has taught you, watch, you abide in him. So little children, abide in him, so that when he appears we may have confidence and not shrink back from him in shame at his coming. What does he say? You have an anointing that teaches you how to abide in Jesus. What I love about the Lord is that he doesn't just give you a command or an imperative. He gives you the power to carry it out. Amen. Right, Savannah? Because I can't do anything apart from him. I've got to trust this, folks. Just like I trust the blood of Jesus cleansing me from my sin. Just like I trust the body of Christ bearing my sin and my shame, all those other things. So many of us have that kind of faith. But are we going to believe that we can abide in Jesus and say bye to the desires of the flesh, never carrying them out,
and saying yes to the fruit of the Spirit. Now, I would say this because that's what I believe with all my heart. To walk by the Spirit is to abide in the Spirit, or to abide in Jesus. I want you to notice this third point. Back in verse 24 of Galatians chapter 5, notice what he says. Those who belong to Christ Jesus. Do you belong to Christ Jesus? Well, let me tell you what the Bible says about you who belong to Jesus. You have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Now, really important here, this word, have crucified, is in the Greek language a perfect tense. It means that it has a beginning and it has a continual result the rest of your life. Some have said it's like saying, I have been crucified, I'm being crucified, and I will continue to be crucified with Christ the rest of my life. I will continue to be crucified. I will continue to crucify the flesh the rest of my life. There's a certainty about it. That's what's so beautiful about the original language. And I can't do it on my own. I need Jesus. I can't do it Mike Fritcher's way. I can't do it according to the flesh. I've got to do it by the Spirit of the living God. And I do that by abiding in Him and letting His words abide in me. That's why I said last week, I'll say it again, you got to read your Bible. You got to be in the Word. You read the Word. You read what the Word says. You read how the Word tells you to apply it. You do these kinds of things. That's what you do. You're in the Word of God. And if you're in the Word of God once a week on Sunday, or if you have just kind of a little devotional during the day, and you're not being washed by the Word, you're not being sanctified by the Word, you're not just being immersed in the Word of God. I know we're busy, but all of us have time. If you have time to scroll, you have time to open your Bible and scroll your Bible. We all have it. I guarantee it. And the question is, will I neglect it? Will I embrace it? No, the fruit of the Spirit identifies you as a child of God. Now, I'll say this. It's the behavior of the believer who walks by the Spirit and bears fruit that identifies him. The behavior doesn't save you. Behavior doesn't save you. You can never be saved by behavior, by doing. But when you're saved by the Spirit and you walk by the Spirit, you'll carry out the fruit of the Spirit, and that identifies you as a child of God. By the way, deeds of the flesh identify you as a child of the enemy. If you keep doing it and keep doing it and keep practicing it, and you go year after year, decade after decade. And there's been a lot of people who do that. Go to 1 John 3, not here, but go to 1 John 3 and learn about that. Walking by the Spirit, He's here to help you. He's here to lead you into all the truth. You must walk by the Spirit. You won't carry out the deeds of the flesh. You'll live a fruitful life. Matter of fact, you abide in Jesus, you'll bear much fruit. You'll glorify the Father. You'll prove to be His disciple. You'll crucify the flesh and its passions. And the fourth thing is that you will walk by the Spirit by following the Word. I'm going to just ask you to turn real briefly to Matthew chapter 7. I'm going to read this to you. I may have a little time. Verse 13. I want you to notice that when you look at verses like this, you see warning. You see fruitfulness. You see what it means to bear much fruit. And I'm just saying that if walking by the Spirit means abiding in Jesus, and if it means also abiding in Jesus, it's also following His Word. Now watch, verse 13. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and many who enter by it. Now, notice there's going to be two ways, two kinds of people, and two kinds of destinies in this passage. I really just need to preach this all next week, but the way And the gate that leads to death is wide. Look at me. Wide. What does your Bible say? And many are headed that way. Okay? Really important. Many are headed that way. Why am I so surprised at today's culture? Because many have entered the way to destruction. Okay? And we're always going to be outnumbered. Okay? Always. According to this passage of Scripture. Always outnumbered. So don't let it alarm you. The gate is small, and the way is narrow that leads to life. Watch. And few find it. Okay? Way to destruction is what? Wide. Many are headed that way. And then, watch this. Listen. It's narrow. The way's narrow. And few find it. Let me ask you, when the flood came, did many make it? No. A few made it. Now, I know there's going to be more than eight. But eight is few. Then he says, beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You'll know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? Now watch. So every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. When I enter into the narrow way through faith in Christ, you and I become a good tree. Not a bad tree. Now, I want you to notice what he says. Every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit, period. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Now, let's stop here for a moment because we've got to go to the original language for a moment. When he says that a good tree cannot produce bad fruit, it's in an infinitive. And it says a good tree cannot keep on bearing bad fruit. Now that's a warning, but it's also encouraging. Amen? Because if I read the other way, it means, hey, I produced bad fruit this week. Right? But my Bible says a good tree cannot keep on producing bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Have you ever had a tree that just produced such good fruit year after year, and then it had a bad year? You ate the fruit, and cut it down. No, you didn't cut it down. It's had a consistency of bearing good fruit. It's got a bad season. Then next week, or maybe the next year, or the next year after that, what? It came back, and it came back strong, and it was sweeter than ever. Just had a bad season. Now again, I'm not giving you a loophole to have a bad season, because there's nothing good about a bad season. All I'm saying is, if you're a good tree in Christ, you can't continue to walk and practice the stuff of the world, period. You won't. You just won't, because a good tree can't, according to the Scripture. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. And it's interesting, a good tree cannot continue to produce bad fruit, and listen, a bad tree can never produce good fruit. You say, wait a minute, I see people loving God, loving really good people, really loving. Are they doing that by faith in Jesus? If they're not, they're just not the eternal works of God. Very important. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is, what, cut down and thrown in the fire. So then, watch, you'll know them, what, by their fruits. You're identified by your fruit. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But the one who's, what, doing the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? And I will say to them, I will declare to them, I never ever knew you. Depart from me who practice lawlessness. Now watch. You're identified by your fruit. Okay. That's number one. Number two, if I'm abiding in Jesus, if I'm walking by the Spirit, I'm going to bear much fruit. That's the promise. Believe that today. Just believe that. Let God just percolate this in your heart. That this is scripture and this is word. And that I have hope today. I have an anticipation of what God's saying will happen, will happen. As a man, as a husband, as a dad, as a grandfather, as a son, as a daughter. But do you think when you look at this passage of scripture that there are going to be some surprised people at the judgment? That's why we don't live by works. You can give all your possessions to feed the poor and still go to hell because you didn't have love. 1 Corinthians 13. Therefore, here's the point. Everyone who's hearing these words of mine and what? And acting upon them will be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain and the floods came and the winds and the slammed against that house and yet it did not fall for it had been founded on the rock. Now, you remember the antichrist that go out from us? That's what he's talking about. Trials come, these things come, and they become bitter toward God and they leave the church and they leave the faith and they never ever return. The Bible says it's because they never were of us. Look, rain's going to fall, floods are going to come, winds are going to slam against your house, your life. But if you're founded upon the rock, by watch, I'm just suggesting this to you, you're walking by the Spirit, you're abiding in Jesus, and you're following His Word that's in you. Notice what it says. It says it slammed against the house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock, right? And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act upon them will be like a fool who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, the floods came, winds blew, slammed against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. What's God saying today? Got to walk by the Spirit, not the flesh. We got to abide in Jesus, and we got to keep His Word. It's just what this means is that when I'm in the Word of God, and God is speaking to me about something that I need to respond to, whether it's to believe it, whether it's to live it, whether it's to obey it, whether it's to stop doing what I'm doing, I need to get up from my quiet time and go do it by the power of the Spirit of God, who's already leading me, guiding me, directing me. Yeah. What an awesome promise of God that I can say no to the temptation and not see this awful fruit coming out of our lives, but seeing the fruit of God's Spirit coming out of our lives. That one day, someone might say, oh, that's my dad. That's my grandfather. That's my mom. That's my grandmother. They walked after the Spirit. They abided in Jesus. And they followed His Word. Bow with me in prayer. Father, thank You for today. Thank You for the precious baptisms today. Thank You for worship today. Thank You, Father, for just the Word today. And Lord, I know that we've shared enough scripture today, enough verses of scripture, that most of us should get something today. And I ask that something would be so meaningful and so powerful that as they act upon it, as they live on it, God, that our lives would change even today. That's what I pray for our church today. A church that walks by the Spirit, abides in Jesus, and hears and does the Word of God by the power of the Spirit of God. So come, Lord, visit us with that. And may we walk in agreement with it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.